welcome back to the Mind Vector Podcast.
If you're a returning listener and would like to support the podcast, give us a like and a subscribe.
And if you'd like to share your thoughts, leave them on our YouTube, BitChute, or Facebook. Okay. All right, we're recording now.
Okay.
So, kind of want to finish that up too. That was an interesting train of thought, but I don't know how to tie it in. Oh, well. So...
No, I was asking if you'd heard about the book, the Fourth Turning, because my husband's been listening to it, and he's like, you've got to listen to this one. You've got to listen to this one. But he's basically saying that we're on the fourth leg of that, and shit's about to pop off and start over.
Yeah, with all the stuff going on with the coronavirus and all these ideologies battling it out right now, I wonder what it's going to look like in the future, because... something's got to give, and like the information age has got everybody so disoriented and polarized and everything. So,
yeah, it's like everybody's running in all these directions, like scattering. So, we're going to start over at some point. Jason said that we've got a couple decades left, but probably within our kids' lifetime, it's basically going to be hard times. But it's building towards better because we're at the peak. We're at the peak of good times. And that's why everybody's so weak. You know, weak. Yeah, exactly.
It's like that, it's like phrase, that quote.
Yep. You want to go for it? You want to say it? I think we're thinking of the same one.
We probably are.
Yeah.
The easy time makes soft men and hard times make hard men.
So yeah, hard men create good times. Good times create soft men. Soft men create bad times.
Yeah, hard men create good. I mean, hard times create good men. There we go.
Yeah, so we're about to hit that point. So our kids' generation is gonna hopefully not fuck shit up anymore.
So speaking of ideologies, today we're gonna be diving into MGTOW, and for people listening that I've never heard of MGTOW. That's MGTOW. MGTOW stands for Men Going Their Own Way. It's one of those things that seems to have come up in the past, I would say at least 10 years, but something similar has been brewing for a longer time. First time I really heard of it was when a friend of mine had a video he wanted me to watch, and it was detailing this philosophy and this movement, so to say. There's some crossover here between the whole men's rights activists, the men's rights movement, mm-hmm. and the MGTOW. I guess like some of the older stuff that was kind of related, like the first signs of it, was reading some blog posts and someone pointed out the no ma'am thing in, what was the show with Al Bundy? Married with Children.
Oh. Yeah, that one.
Yeah. So when my friend first showed it to me, my thoughts were, it sounds a lot like male feminism. Like it does seem like it's highly reactionary to feminism. And
yeah.
Men going their own. Go on.
What does it look like? What does men going their own way look like?
So basically the MGTOW community, they have levels, mm-hmm. and generally what I've been seeing, it's five levels, and occasionally they'll list a sixth level. So basically the first level, well, this isn't really a level, but like level zero, the non-MGTOW, mm-hmm. these are for, this is what they call people that are blue-pilled, that are unaware as to the plight of men. And they kind of buy into the mainstream feminist and equality narrative.
Mm.
So that would be considered level zero, which is, I guess, not on the charts yet. The first level would be MGTOW with situational awareness. And these people, they reject the concept of marriage. Well, I shouldn't say these people because it's men.
It's men, yeah. Yeah.
So these guys, they reject long-term relationships, and it's usually people that have just kind of gotten burned by the courts and their exes.
Or people who've seen it happen to, like, family and friends.
That too. People have seen the courts just strip a man of way too much, so.
Yeah, it's like, it destroys men's lives when, like, divorce is, like, the most catastrophic thing that can happen.
Yeah.
To a guy. After a certain point in his life, you get to this point, and then all of a sudden all that shit basically gets taken away.
Yeah, and I can understand this one, and personally, this is kind of why I would be really cautious about, I don't want the government in my relationship. That's essentially how I see it.
Yeah.
So, that's why, and my personal belief would be I would want to find somebody that's okay with something long-term, lifelong, but not allowing the state into our marriage and our bedroom, so to say.
Yeah. So, well, how do you get a woman on board with that? Because women are, like, super insecure, and for good reason, when it comes to building a life with someone.
It's, it's kind of one of those things that's really hard, because women like rituals a lot. Mm-hmm. For most, it seems like things aren't really real until there's, like, some ritual to go with it, and
right.
I've seen women
that... But you can do, like, a ceremony and still not have the legal bindings.
Yeah, and that would be my thoughts, too. You can still do the entire, like, ritual and everything. You just don't have to tell the state about it. You know, whatever. As far as I know, I don't think that's illegal. So, basically, in this phase of MGTOW, the first phase, guys are still going for one-night stands, maybe short-term relationships and things like that.
Hmm. But they're still, like, marriage-averse.
But they're averse to marriage.
Mm.
So, and they're also kind of aware that there are a lot of difficulties that men suffer that women don't. And right now, women have a lot of privileges over men. Mm-hmm. And since the state tends to usually side with women in divorce cases, custody cases, or even, like, you know, domestic abuse and things like that,
mm-hmm.
that's... It means the marriage is kind of risky. Like later in this, it'll start to explain how basically you're almost just in jeopardy by being around a woman because you don't know if she's stable or malevolent or whatever. So I would say this is kind of like the initial post-trauma stage where the guy kind of becomes aware of male disposability. So some of the good things about this, I would say, is that if someone has gone to a point where they've been burned, there is a community out there for them. So they can get some emotional support, which is something that guys don't have the most access to, since guys tend to be more independent.
Right. Loners.
Yeah.
Loners. Well, not loners, but, like, yeah, independent. Yeah.
Yeah, independent, and maybe... Yeah, I would say definitely more private about how they express their feelings and things like that, because it's not something that society really rewards for men to make themselves emotionally vulnerable. And a lot of the times it's quite the opposite. So,
yeah. Well, that on that level, it's like it's still hard to separate the whole legality of it, because even if you are living with someone, the state will start to consider that as common law.
Yeah.
So if she changes her address to your address, then you're basically married after 2 years or whatever the law says it is. But yeah, I know there's like a certain time period that goes into effect.
Yeah. So I guess that's kind of how the state gets around that legal thing, which is, you know, that's another thing too. It gets kind of dangerous because that kind of gives way to their argument that it's dangerous to be around women because the state can still interpret it however they want.
Right. So then you get to the next level where they're just like, they're not even going to go there. They're not even going to risk that.
Did you ever see that video of an Asian athlete? I think a woman came close to him after he had won this. I think it was a fight. I don't know if it was UFC or what. I don't remember the context too well. But it was just a clip I saw online. And basically the guy was running because he didn't want to be near her because... they could use it later and say that he assaulted her or something like that. So
is that what he said? Is that what his...
That was his thinking, basically. He just...
Oh, wow.
He was in the limelight, so he didn't want to be around any women because it's dangerous if one wants to start making false accusations or something like that.
Dang.
So, yeah. Like, how...
Yeah, it's like, fucking up my success. You're going to, bring the whole house down.
Yeah, like, even Kobe Bryant, like, Jesus, right after his death, you know, the whole rape case thing started coming back up.
Yeah.
And he was, you know, acquitted of that. Like, it was ruled that he didn't do it. But still, people were coming after him, and that turned into its own thing. But...
Because I know that, like, in the sports world and, like, a competition in athletics, that men, like, they're coached to stay away, to not have sex, to stay away from women because it can drain their strength. So they will compete on a... They won't compete as well as they could if they're still around, like, their girlfriend and they're still having sex and stuff like that. So when they're, like, in hardcore training up until competition, they're like, not... They're celibate, basically.
Yeah.
So, which I think... I think there's logic to it, absolutely, because they have to be, you know, focused and perform. They can't be, you know, they can't be distracted. You're not, you shouldn't be. if you're gonna win, you know,
yeah, you want, like, to channel your chances, that sexual energy into their sport.
Right. Yeah.
That's
so if you're, like, pacified and chilling and comfortable, you know, you're not gonna get there.
Yeah, you're not gonna be, what's the word, like, it's driven. So
yeah. So basically no FAP until...
Yeah, essentially, yeah. So it seems like all these different old school cultures, because there's a whole thing about, like, semen retention and stuff like that. And people start talking about that, too, when it comes to NoFap.
Mm.
But all that old school wisdom is actually starting to kind of make sense nowadays.
Coming back, yeah.
Yeah. So the only downside with at least the MGTOW thing that I'm thinking about is that if it's kind of explained wrong, it could make younger generations jaded.
Mm-hmm.
Like, early on, I mean, as far as dealing with a younger male, I would think it is important to let them know the dangers you run into with people in general. But if you make...
Oh, yeah.
If you kind of say that women are this, then that can kind of... I think that can kind of give them the wrong idea. But it's also important, too, to teach a young guy, like, it's okay to have boundaries and rules and everything like that, and to not let a woman walk.
Yeah, I wonder if that Asian athlete was, like, single, or if he had a girlfriend or married or something. He didn't want to piss her off.
That too. Yeah.
He's no.
Could have caused
all
kinds
of
drama.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, and that's another thing too that, like, gets noted in MGTOW is that the court privileges women, they get lower jail sentences. If they attack a guy, it's, you know, the guy is expected to tolerate it. Women have a strong in-group preference. So if one woman says something about you that's not true, it's pretty hard to fight uphill against that in a lot of scenarios.
Yeah, believe all women.
Yeah, exactly. And that's kind of like the new thing that was being pushed not too long ago,
that yeah,
women should just be like this hive mind and everything and be believed or whatever.
Solidarity.
Yeah.
Well, so this MGTOW recognizes that women are not sugar, spice, and everything nice.
Yeah. A lot it's of like kind of up. Herpes and makeup. I'm just kidding.
Herpes, makeup, and tampon flinging.
Herpes, makeup, and everything fake. But
weave.
So another.
So he was like the next level MGTOW because he was like not even wanting any proximity to her.
Yeah, he was playing it completely safe. So the whole believe all women thing. Women aren't drafted. Women basically can kill their babies, but if they decide not to kill their baby, a guy gets forced to pay for it. Dave Chappelle had a great joke about that in one of his stand-ups. He said something about, you know, I'm going to spoil it for those who haven't listened to Dave Chappelle, so. Uh-huh. Basically, he had a joke explaining that if it's okay for a woman to kill a baby, it should be okay for a man to abandon it.
Yeah, it should be okay for me not to pay for it.
Yeah, basically, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I heard him say that. That was a good one. I was like, oh.
Yeah, women, they get to avoid contracts when it comes to marriage. So even if you get like a prenup, there's been cases of that really didn't save the guy at all.
Wow.
So.
Because that's what I was going to say. It's like, well, you still have prenups, so what's the big deal? Well, like if a guy's worried about women running off with all this shit.
There's cases where it doesn't really hold up that well in court, so.
Yeah. I guess it depends on what state you live in. I think California is really bad about that.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Mm-hmm.
So, basically, there's not really much you can do when it comes to having a legal defense against women a lot of the time. Mm. So, it, you know, just speaking in macro levels here, because overall,
yeah,
it's something that men, it is understandable for men to be concerned about. I remember when I was in college, one thing that was kind of interesting to me is during one of the history classes I took, they were talking about the Great Depression and how these people were homeless. And I think this was around, well, I think this is probably when they started trying to teach things with kind of like a agenda to them. So we were supposed to answer one question about, well, why do you never see any homeless women during the Great Depression? So I think it was supposed to be like an implication that they've been taken as like sex slaves or something like that.
Dang.
But, you ever hear of that show Handmaiden's Tale?
I've heard of it, but I have never watched it.
I've bumped into a few feminist girls that like that show. But basically, the government has women. I haven't watched it, so it's probably a bad paraphrasing. This is at least how they describe it to me, that the government issues out women for guys to procreate with. So they're just like these little mail order women that you get. So
fucking concubines. And
basically, so I guess that was kind of like the angle that they were trying to take with that question when I was in college. But at the same time, it's like it's not that bad of a deal if it means you're not homeless, you know. Right. You have food, you have heating, so
yeah, it's all like contextual. So but yeah, it's funny to me that women push it so far and that the government kind of upholds that, because from a natural order of things, we are privileged already. As far as, well, if you follow the natural order and you are married or attached yourself to a guy who's got resources and whatever, I don't know if it's indicative of the quality of men that's around now and the breakdown of that whole lineage of father-son, that's degraded them, and that women feel the need to like go out and now be independent or whatever, and not depend on the guy. So that now the government needs to step in and be like, oh yeah, whatever, you know, we'll take care of you. But it's funny to me how now that the natural order of things is disrupted, be it because of our, you know, civilization, that we're so advanced now that we're comfortable. Basically, we don't have to go out and hunt food. We don't have to build our own houses or find resources or any of that shit. So we're too comfortable. And so that is like not really apparent to us what that natural order should be anymore.
Yeah. So it's like all of our genes have been outdated by so much pleasure and comfort.
Like, you can't, but it's too soon. It's like it's happened too fast, and our genes haven't, I don't think they've caught up. This is why men are, like, waking up to this shit, and it's like, it's wrong on some, you know, subconscious level. That's why you still have the blue pill guys. So, but then, okay, so you have the aware MGTOWs.
That's, but, yeah, level one, and then the ones that aren't are the blue pill ones, yeah.
But yeah, like I was saying, it's, like, funny to me how women are just not even aware of natural privilege that we have as females in the wild. It's like, because they've been feminists have been telling us for a long time that we have to be equal to men, which we're never going to be. That's never actually going to happen without government intervention as it is now.
Well, I mean, period. Like, there's the whole equality thing. It's
that's what I mean. It's like, it's bullshit. No such thing. It's not, bullshit.
Like,
it's bullshit.
Thomas Sowell has this quote that a man isn't equal to himself on a different day. I'm paraphrasing, but the point is there that basically we change. Like, what is equality? We're not all carbon copies. We've got the individual has ups and downs. You know, they have their strengths and weaknesses. So to push the whole equality cult, that's... it's detrimental to people and it disorients them.
So we have all these like social structures now, be it feminism or MGTOW, that are kind of trying to decipher all this shit that's going on. But it, and it's like reactionary. Yeah. But if we would have, if we were to fall back on our natural, on the way that things should be naturally, it wouldn't even be a, an issue. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And as far as, like, when it comes to feminism, I've never really understood the ways that they believe that, at least in the West, how women are oppressed. Like, what do they even, what do they argue? That what, they can't kill their babies, so they're oppressed, or...
Yeah, basically, if you do whatever you want without any consequences, then you are oppressed.
I can't get
well, guess what? Life and choices...
oppressed. So...
life is oppressive. Your own choices will oppress you.
Yeah.
But people are in denial. They just want a free pass of everything, including their own stupid choices to not keep their legs closed.
Yeah, and that's, I think that's kind of the problem now, is that all the victim thinking is just making more reactionary victim thinking. So,
yeah.
But going back to it.
Mm-hmm.
So level two of MGTOW is the social MGTOW. The social MGTOW rejects serious short-term relationships. The member only participates in hookups or brief flings for a short-term social, sexual interaction. So they believe that this is a little safer than marriage because you can hook up with a girl and not be basically chained to her for life by the courts unless, you know, she says that you raped her or something. Some guys argue that it's safer because they believe you can record the fling, but it's kind of not true either because there's revenge porn laws. So if you end up recording something, then it can get considered to be revenge porn. So you're kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't when it comes to that. Like, the fact that government overreach has gotten so bad in relationships, it's forcing people to be smarter about who they invest in. So,
yep. And then you have the broads who regret it the night after or the day after, and they're like, post me tooing.
So,
but couldn't that be like psychologically problematic? Like long term, if a guy stays in at that level of thinking, for him to just have like continuous one night stands or short term flings and just stuck in that cycle of not quite having a long term thing. You know what I mean?
It depends. It's more damaging for women to go through that.
But it's still damaging for guys. It's like, I don't know.
It's damaging for the society, no doubt. Because, you know, like, Jesse Lee Peterson says you become a slut maker. So
yeah,
if you're going around just making all these girls that are all messed up because you're breaking their ability to invest in people,
then it's, yeah, you're adding to that,
you're adding to the problem. Cycle. So, but at the same time, it's not something like one person can really fix. All they can change is themselves. But I can't really say that there's like a hard consequence. This risk that you place yourself in by only going for sex and flings and stuff like that. Obviously, STDs, pregnancies, and you could get sperm raped, which I think that's the term for it. Like a girl could basically poke a hole in the condom or something like that. Or
Or retrieve it from the trash can.
Or take it from the trash can, yeah. So there's sperm jacking. That's another risk you put yourself out there up for. And you kind of could, I guess one thing, if depending on how you go about it, if you are faking the relationships just to get sex, then I think you can, you know, suffer some character damages there, because you could do something that you don't feel all that ethical about, just lying to the girl to get into her pants or something like that.
Yeah. Which, I mean, I was thinking about that because I was listening to Patrice O'Neill yesterday, and they were saying that guys who are upfront about wanting sex, like, from the get-go, are less of a scumbag than guys who pretend that they want, like, a relationship. And then, but I mean, obviously all guys want sex from the get-go.
Yeah.
That's like a no-brainer. Nobody, you know.
So.
But the women who believe it and then fall for it, and the guy, like, woos them and then up and leaves, dips out or whatever, then he's more of a scumbag than the guy who's like, yeah, I just want to fuck.
Yeah, it's kind of a mess too, because girls don't really like honesty that much. Like, they'll say they do, but they really don't. And especially nowadays, because, like, on dating sites, people call themselves pansexual and non-monogamous and all that. So you have a lot of girls that are acting like fuck boys, basically. They're like, I don't want a monogamous relationship, but I want something long-term, but not lifelong. So it's like, okay, so you just want, like, an extended nightstand. But if a guy says, hey, I want to do some repeated hooking up with you, she's going to be like, well, no, what do you think, I am a slut? Well, you can't say yeah, but she's not wrong.
It's funny because women want the committed relationship before the sex, and men kind of require the sex before they commit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, it works opposite.
Yep. It's like a little tug of war. So that's what kind of sucks about human mating. Especially when you got this huge institution that can crush you.
Yeah.
Basically having to deal with the state and all that behind it. But I guess those are pretty much the only risks I would see with level two, just going around hooking up, is pregnancies, STDs. Obviously, the more women you're around, you would end up potentially getting a crazy one. So,
you're like shotgunning it. You're going to get in trouble at some point.
So, level three.
So then, they level up and go to level three.
So, level three is the civil MGTOW. They reject relationships entirely with women, meaning no friends, no dating, no one night stands. The only women that they speak to are ones they have to or that are related to them.
Mm.
So if they're at work, basically they would just kind of take the attitude of not getting swept up in conversation with women. They would just completely avoid them.
So, like, super professional and just dry.
Yeah, which sounds like that Asian athlete that we were talking about a second ago.
He ran for the hills. What are you talking about?
Well, that's the thing. Yeah, it was civil. He just backed away, but they kept pushing him into it. So, yeah. But
that's crazy. Well, that's funny in the workplace too, because I mean, that's where most people are most of the time anyway. So, women, especially women who are used to attention, they're kind of drawn to those guys who are not about them. You know what I mean? Who are not giving them that attention. They stand out. So then they take that as kind of like a challenge, and they will pursue the guy.
Yeah. It's like a house cat.
Yeah, pretty much. So they're used to, like, being bombarded with all this attention and blah, blah, blah. And so they come to expect that. And then suddenly when then that's not a given and the guy's attractive and, you know, he's a manager or professional or whatever, higher up, they're like, what? I'm not attractive. And it's like an insecurity thing too.
Yeah. Me, I when I was working at a couple jobs back, I was pretty much like that. Not so much out of the MGTOW philosophy or anything, but didn't really have that much in common with my coworkers. So especially being in, like, a very liberal environment, I didn't want to jump into their whole politics because I didn't feel like it. It's like, I've heard some
smashing your head against the wall.
Yeah, basically, I feel like wasting my time talking to a wall almost. But
yeah,
because of that though, it you kind of lose either way, because then the women there, they'll say that you're being hostile by not engaging with them. So,
oh god,
they can run and tell your manager, and again, you run into that whole problem of believe all women or whatever. So if you just simply choose not to engage, that can piss off a lot of them too. So
such a stupid balancing act. Fucking yeah. tight walking a tightrope.
Yeah,
so, I don't miss work politics at all.
Oh yeah, definitely. Office cultures and all that shit is a mess. And ugh, just being around women in the office, like, they're all gonna just start bleeding emotionally. So like, you may get swept up into it, and you know, they want you to hear their problems or whatever. Yeah. Especially if you're like in the MGTOW perspective, that shit is just like, you know, why me? But that's how women are, though. They're just kind of entitled by nature, so they really don't have a... And again, speaking at a macro level here, not everyone, but that's how our culture is now. Everyone's entitled as fuck, so you can't be the one that wants to try and fix that person, especially in the fucking the workspace. So
yeah, and even if it's like a well-intentioned like chick just trying to be approachable or relatable or whatever, I can understand why it would feel like shunned or whatever. Yeah. But that's no reason to like go and report his ass. It's like, I don't know.
Yeah, I've heard cases of guys that basically a woman was interested in him, and because he wasn't interested back, she started like lashing out and spreading rumors and stuff like that about him. Like with that same office job, one of the guys that I chatted with a bit, he had a coworker. She was like probably 9 or 10 years older than him. Would call him all day. You know, would ask to come over and sit on his lap in the middle of the night, like send him those type of text messages and stuff like that.
Oh my gosh.
So, and he was a temp, and she was a permanent. She was a permanent worker there. Employee. So, yeah, employee. So, he didn't really know how to deal with that. And it's funny because he was super liberal, and, you know, he knew I wasn't on board with the liberal way of thinking. So when he first told me about it, I fucking laughed my ass off. Yeah. I'm like, man, you're gonna have to join up with the Me Too movement. But yeah, so you kind of run into problems both way with that type of thing. So
that to me also kind of parallels with like how a married man should conduct himself around women in the workplace, at least. Or in general, I mean, you don't want to be seen with one-on-one with a strange woman who's not your wife, because people will talk about it.
Yeah.
So they're like more committed to, I guess, themselves and or whatever they're trying to achieve. Same way, like with married men or whatever. So that's the next level of MGTOW commitment.
Yeah, it's kind of trending towards that. Like the civil MGTOW, since they're basically avoiding women at that point, the benefits is, well, if you're at a job that the management there is kind of more aware and not too hands off or incompetent, they can realize that, yeah, if you're not socializing, that you're working more, so
yeah,
you can get better at your job. If it's a decent company, you can rise, and if it's not, you still have more time to yourself, so you can spend that time working on your own emotions, working on yourself. You can fill your time with hobbies, you know, your interests, your passions and stuff like that. Start a new business, whatever you want to do. So
that's true.
Yeah. It's kind of the benefit of level 3. So the next level is the ghost MGTOW, which basically they start to reject society. So not only are they less inclined to deal with women completely, they don't want to deal with people that are blue-pilled, period. Meaning that they are buying into the mainstream narrative. So for the ghost MGTOW, they actually start to kind of make a effort to not contribute to the current system. So they start breaking the stereotypes of, like, you know, you should help a woman or whatever. You just completely avoid them. You also intentionally, they at this point, they actually intentionally start trying to stay in lower tax brackets so that they're not just stuck being a tax slave. So they begin focusing on hobbies, they travel, and they even go to the point where they'll try to make money off the grid because they don't want to feed the state system, which basically throws men into the grinder. So to me, that one sounds it's getting kind of close to like those old school religious rules, like you said, like people talking and stuff like that, how married men should conduct themselves and being really professional. Because I know when it comes to priests and monks and stuff, they have all these rules about how they have to interact with women. The monks, they're not allowed to be alone with a woman unless other people are there. In Buddhism, they're not allowed to touch them either. So
you can look, but don't touch. But no, the ghost MGTOW sounds like, okay, the civil MGTOW, level 3, to me that sounded like a more ambitious, more well-rounded person, whereas the ghost MGTOW is just kind of mediocre at best. Like, he just wants to be left alone, and but he's not trying to produce, but just, yeah, I guess monk mode. It depends on how you look at it, though.
Well, monk mode would be like level 5. Like a monk.
So, or like a just a blob. Like my brother comes to mind.
When you say, well, when you think of the level 4?
Yeah, the level 4, just because he's like in, he works like, I don't know. He barely holds a job for like any period of time. And when he does, it's like very low paying. And just for him to like eat and smoke weed and have fun and go out with his friends and stuff like that. But I don't think he avoids women, though. That's just the kind of person that I picture when I hear the description of the ghost MGTOW. Just kind of a blah dude.
Well, I would say that's probably... It makes sense because I think women are evolved to like guys that are productive. So if she doesn't see anything she can take, it's just blah to them. So
she'll move on. Yeah.
Yeah. It's something that she'll kind of be disgusted by. So
I can
see why you would have that, that thought about the level 4. Cause it seems like it's something that this isn't useful to me.
Right. Well, it's certainly not going to attract a high quality woman, but probably a very low quality woman who's got even less than he does.
Yeah, that's true.
Will actually see him as a blessing or whatever.
Yeah. So they, for guys doing that though, well, that's the thing though. If they're trying to go off the grid, they can still make money. It just may be illegal things. So.
Under the table.
Yeah, under the table. So it doesn't mean that they're necessarily broke, basically. But they just want the amount of money that's going to be taken by the government to not be... Basically, they want to minimize that. So
right.
That's what I was saying. It doesn't have to be too bad with that one either. Because this one seems like it's also increasing in independence.
Gotcha.
So... Level 5, which is the exile MGTOW, which sounds like the monk, they fully drop out of society. They don't talk to blue pillars at all. They go off the grid entirely. And they're kind of in isolation. So that one, there's good things and bad things that can kind of happen at that point. So... Again, like, if you're creating all that time and space for yourself, it's good because you can do something useful with it. It's bad, too, because, I don't know, like...
Well, you lose perspective of life. It's like you're just by yourself. Like, what are you going to do?
Yeah, I mean, independent, if you really like being alone, then that can work. It's I guess my thought about it is that it's not all that bad of a thing because, you know, I'm into Buddhism, so I don't really see a problem with monks. But I think the fact that they're using an aversion of women to motivate them, I think that's kind of the little flaw in the logic, I think. But if it gets you there, you know, if it makes you better, I guess that's good because you transmuted the trauma into triumph, so.
I don't even know what to say about that one. That was just like completely just balls to the wall, said, fuck this, I'm out.
Yeah.
There's like no going back. And like
Well,
not even a plan to go back because you're not going to be able to get away from women. Women are everywhere.
right.
I think we outnumber you guys. Pretty sure that's how it works. But
Depending on, like, if you're willing to lower your quality of living and stuff like that, you'd be surprised. You can spend time away from people for quite a while. Especially if these were guys that invested all that time into making more money. They can retire young and just travel the world, you know?
True.
So there's a lot that they can actually do. Hell, they could go live in, I don't know, some poor country with nice beaches or something like that. So. Where were we at? Five.
Yeah,
So
five.
the next level that's not everywhere. Some people say this is a level, and some don't. From what I've been seeing online, is level six, which this is the monk that comes back. So
Ooh.
this is the teacher. This is the one that starts to talk about what they've learned. So they still follow the same values of, you know, level four or whatever, but they're actually kind of spreading what they've achieved from it. So I would say overall, like, you know, the blatant answer is that not all women are like this, which apparently in the MGTOW world they actually have a term for. They call it the Nawalt. Not all women are like this. So basically, that would be the problem that I would kind of see here is that if you're trying to spread these things to like a guy at a young age, you would have to teach it in a way where it's not gonna give them kind of a overly jaded outlook.
Yeah, because I can see guys getting stuck in any one of these levels for too long without progressing. I
Right.
mean, I think it's better to go from, I mean, skip all the intermediate bullshit and just go straight to whatever. But everyone's on their own journey. But it's like, don't allow yourself to stagnate. You know, you got to move through all this stuff. And then eventually come back because it's not a permanent solution to just not be around women or to avoid them completely for the rest of your life. It's like that's not productive at all. At
Well,
least not in the holistic life sense. I mean, I understand not everybody wants to have a family, not everybody wants to have kids, not everybody wants to do that. There's other ways to develop yourself and to develop other people as though they were your kids, as though they were your family, and as though they were your team, you know, in general. There's other ways to channel that energy without having to actually procreate or have a partner or whatever. There's different lifestyles. But I think overall, you don't want to get stuck in any one of these levels for too long
See, and
because that becomes.
I guess that's kind of where the MGTOW thing gets kind of gray for me, because it's more so my thing with it. I would kind of object that the motivation is bad, but it seems like the end goals are pretty good. So if you want to have like a guy that's happy by himself, you know, that's fine. But again, it's like the motivator is kind of icky, because it can run you into like a misogynist way of thinking. So, especially if you present that information to a kid when they're really young. But it is important, though, to let them know that, hey, this is how our society works, so watch out for these landmines.
I do think that women are also like pr pretty probably majorly responsible for the way that men turn out. with their relationships. I mean, you always look back at what the relationship was like with the mother, as you know, with the child mother relationship, or the son and mother relationship. And women don't have the best boundaries when it comes to kids, just because they do have to be in tune, but also they have this selfish nature whereby if, say, the husband is not around very much, or if they're divorced and she's a single mother with a son, she can, and not in like any kind of dirty way, but just kind of an emotional kind of thing where she oversteps and uses the kid as her, like, what do you call it, surrogate partner.
Yeah.
So then that's when you start stepping into the emotional incest kind of thing. And that's why guys, a lot of guys, I feel like, don't have those boundaries, because they were broken down at a critical age. And they just, they're not able to say no to women because they weren't allowed to say no to their mom. They're not allowed to, you know, reject women, and they just get walked all over because that's what mom did. That's how she trained him. That's how they were brought up. So it's a good thing in the sense that they need to detach from the mother, whether it's physically or mentally or emotionally, and for however long it takes, to be able to establish themselves as a independent man, you know. Right. And then they can progress and have healthy relationships with women and be able to say, no, this is wrong, this is right, this is how things should be. So it's a good way to, like, for men, young men, to reorient themselves. And even like divorced men, you know, because you never know where they are in their journey in their life. But to be able to just say no and then reject and reorient, I think MGTOW is helpful in that sense.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Recording.
So then after they embrace leaving that relationship and coming into their own, I don't particularly find it wise to necessarily stay in like a solitary state for too long, and definitely not permanently, because they still need to be shown the way and how to be men, because women can't teach men how to be men. So they have to find some kind of a community of men to show them the way, because it's like they say, steel, you can only sharpen steel with steel. So men have to teach men how to be men.
Yeah. See, and I think that's where the level 6 comes in, is because men are willing to do this, which that is a good aspect of this ideology or this philosophy.
Right.
Because it seems like there are people that do want to come back from the isolation and try and improve the society. And even then, like, if not contributing to a corrupt society, that's also, because, you know, it's a little controversial, because it's like, you could frame it as if they're turning their back on everybody, but
right.
At the same time, if they get out of this corrupt system and it can't survive without them, then you have something that can rise from the ashes that'll be better.
Right.
So I guess that's kind of why I have mixed feelings on it, because it seems one way, but when you think about it, it's not that bad. But then again, yeah, you know, this is kind of why it came up, is because men showing their problems is something that tends to just attract resentment rather than empathy. So
right, and there's definitely a movement that's going on that men are banding together with all these ideologies in order to improve themselves and then better. Come back better in order to change society, because this is what fucked them up in the first place. Right. So obviously they have that mission to change the world.
Yeah. So, and even
then, Elliot Hustle is actually one of the big ones that's on that. Has a camp, an alpha male camp, some kind of a strength training, and it's like a boot camp. But it's also spiritual and meditative and philosophy and all kinds of stuff, all wrapped up together. So that to me would be like the ultimate goal. So my concern is that MGTOW can also be kind of a safe space for victim mindsets and to become jaded and just echo chamber and bounce around and just not never like move forward.
Yeah. I agree with that, that is the potential risk, that if this information is presented wrong, it could jade younger generations, and it's not necessarily something that could be taught to people, especially young minds with these. It's really hard to phrase these type of things without it giving them some type of aversion to another demographic. So.
Well, you preface it by saying, like, if you were to speak to a guy that was just destroyed by whatever life he came from, then you go into what happened and then you go from there. But you frame it in the
Well,
sense
that's the
that,
thing, though.
okay,
Like,
you're gonna.
ideally, I would think you would try to teach your, like, if you're like in this movement and you're trying to teach someone that's young, you would want to try to prevent them from having to suffer what you suffered. So you wouldn't have to wait until they actually went through it. You'd have to probably get to them before then, so they know where the pitfalls are.
That's exactly the word I was going to use. The pitfall. You warn them of the pitfalls and then you guide them. But that's preemptive, right? That's like, young kids mentoring if you don't have children or your children.
Yeah, seeing it sucks because at a young age we're already born with the whole, girls are icky and guys are icky mentality. So it's like, fuck, how do you start teaching that at a young age without it getting worse? Because again, like this is it's really close to like a male form of feminism because it's another like victimized reaction. So yeah, the end place can be good if you kind of clean it up a bit, that the goal is to just to make independent, happy men. Just like if feminism was true to what it actually wanted, and you just wanted women to have individual rights, then yeah, that's fine too. Because, no one's saying that they want women to be oppressed or anything, but that's just how, what's the opposite of mansplaining? Like femlessening or something? That's just how.
Vag-splaining.
Well. No, I was saying because I don't know. I've run into issues where women tend to like to mishear things, so I call it fem listening, but or
Femlessly.
fem hearing. So basically, it's like that too. But they kind of want to, they can twist it into something else, which is what's happened with all these newer waves of feminism. And
Yeah, we can be manipulative for
MGTOW
sure.
is kind of it has the potential to be corrupted in the same way.
Yes.
So.
Yes. Which the funny thing with fuck, what was his name? Elliot Hustle. I was like, I need to learn his name because before I was just referring to him as the
That narrows it
black
down.
guy. The black guy. I finally got his name and I forgot it. Elliot Hustle. He never set out to like target the MGTOW. He just realized that men were no longer alpha and that the families were breaking down. So his primary focus is definitely to reconstruct the family. But he's aware that men have to be the leaders in that movement because it can't be women. It's been women for the longest and look where it's gotten us.
All right.
So it's got to be led by men and it's got to be led by strong men. So that is the goal of his camp. And then he just one day somebody like told him, oh, this is like MGTOW. And then he looked into it and he's like, oh shit. Yeah.
It is. So it
Basically.
gets a bad rep, but there is some good in it. And I think that's the case with most ideologies, that if you look hard enough, you can find the good things to cherry pick, and there's also some bad things too. Like, and I think that's why this is so controversial. Like, apparently the Southern Poverty Law Center classifies this as close to a hate group because it's supposed to be male supremacist.
Oh.
So guys saying, "Hey, I'm just gonna not do this anymore. It's hateful." Whatever.
Oh, the
Since,
MGTOW?
yeah, that's
They're
not.
leaving MGTOW because they're feeling pressured by
No. I'm saying
being
that
called.
basically men going their own way is considered hateful by the Southern Poverty Law Center. So it's kind of absurd to me, because just saying that you don't want to deal with people is considered hate. So funky times we live in. But there's also real dangers that it could cause, because if men started basically playing identity politics, it's pretty fucking dangerous. Like, the economy could stop. Population shrinkage, actually, that would be another like thing that would get worse, because guys aren't going out there and having interactions with women because the courts have them so afraid to get near them.
Right.
So that's another.
Or even just like ambitions in careers. Like you're seeing, we were talking about this about Japan, is that when both genders are too career minded, then you don't end up with any kids, and their population is like dead.
Yeah.
They're not making babies.
Yeah.
So I mean, you can't have it both ways and have men and women doing the same thing, because you end up with
this
no civilization.
Yeah, you end up with a shrinking population.
That's how you kill a population. And then women are, we're running out our biological clocks by wasting time on careers and weaving fucking baskets in college and not, you know.
Gender studies and all the other intersectional bullshit.
Yeah. There were like several call-ins from the Stefan Molyneux show, the call-in show, that were like doctors. And he's like, even then he was like, what are you doing? You know, because they ended up having babies and starting families and stuff. And then they were having conflicting thoughts about their career or their baby, raising their babies and all this stuff. And he was like, raise your baby. But then it was like as a warning to other girls that, you know, you're taking someone's spot in that, you know, program who's actually going to follow through and be able to be a doctor. And you're depriving society of that, of one doctor, basically, because you just stopped. Because you are a woman and you're deciding to raise your babies, which is fine. But the choice of having started the career and then just taking up that spot and just not follow through with it was the bad there.
Yeah. I don't know if that was the hustle or not. But they made that point in regards to MGTOW that if you're going to do one or the other, just go in one or the other directions all the way, like, right, commit to it. So that is one of those things that I can kind of see an argument for here. And also when it comes to women going into the workforce, at least committing to the point where they forget about the things that would really make them happy, which is probably a loving relationship and a family. But mm-hmm. Nowadays everybody wants to be dog moms, so.
Oh my god. But, yeah. I mean, we're seeing all these extravagant pet sitting facilities that are like 10 times better than the daycares.
There was this,
that's what the free market gets you.
There was this thread on 4chan on poll. These dudes were just posting all these girls' profiles from dating sites. And there was some woman who was like 36. She had a career and she's like, all my life I've wanted to own a pig and someday I plan to get one. And it's like, you're 36 with a career. What's, I was like, what the fuck? What's stopping you from buying the damn pig?
Yeah.
So I don't know.
He's going to be by himself all day.
He started reading all those profiles and shit on. So, and I don't know, I guess that's kind of another thing that's like contributing to the whole divide between men and women is just technology. Because when you can look at people in such large numbers so quick with the swipe culture, you just get so picky and so resentful. Like, girls will, you know, both sides, like, girls are like, this guy has a shirt off, swipe, or the guy will be like, this girl has on, like, she's making duck face, swipe, and it's just something that you see so many people do, you just start getting, like, burnt out by it.
Yeah, because it's all shallow. I mean, people are just presenting what they want to present, basically the highlight reel of their life. So we become desensitized to it or accustomed to it. And then reality seems like, meh. Also, there's that side of it. I know, you can either get addicted to it or just completely repelled by it, which is what kind of what happened to me, because I used to post a lot on Instagram. But after kids, I was like realizing that it was feeding my narcissism, and it was just competing too much with my ability to be a good mother. So I went cold turkey and I just stopped posting, like, on Instagram mainly. And I stopped posting pictures of them too, because I realized they don't have a choice in the matter. And what if they one day don't want to be on there? And then it also kind of disgusted me how some people just post pictures of their kids for likes, and because they're cute and they get likes and all that. So that's like another form of vanity. So I was just like, no, fuck, that's not what I'm going to do. I'm not going to do that. So I just kind of stopped.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a narcissistic haven as far as I'm concerned. Social media and dating apps and that shit.
Yeah, but
because it's not presenting any depth there with any, unless people are intentionally putting that out there to attract it, then I don't know. But you're still becoming a target by putting out too much.
What do you mean a target?
Well, for a narcissist, the perfect match is an empath. So if someone's too empathetic, they're going to put themselves out there more. And if a narcissist, obviously a narcissist is going to be a predator, they're going to spot that person and go for them. And so that it's like the perfect storm for that easy match.
Yeah. Well, and again, that's why it's important to teach people boundaries early on. So they can still be themselves, and they're also strong enough to ward off the threats that come with being yourself. So.
Yeah. And all that, I mean, it's rooted in parenthood and in your childhood. So it goes without saying that if you do intend to have kids one day, that's something you're going to need to be aware of, both as a father and a mother. Because I've got a son and a daughter. So it's like we're both kind of on our toes about that and keeping ourselves in check so that we don't fuck them up. And we fail horribly every day, but still.
I remember Louis C.K.'s joke. He said something about every action is just another day at the therapy, at the therapist for the kid.
Ugh, yes, I think about that all the time. So, they're going to be telling their therapist about this shit. Oh, well.
But, yeah, so I guess that is one good thing I do see with the MGTOW movement, because even if you don't, like, make a copy of yourself, like, if you don't continue into the world in a materialistic form, if you're dropping information and releasing information that's useful to the species, instead of becoming a genetic father, you become one in spirit, you become a legend, you become something that people can pass on, or your creations can improve the quality of life for the society, for the species, for generations to come. So that is one of the good things that can come out of going your own way and just figuring out whatever it is that you really want out of life. If unfortunately the relationships and the culture aren't adequate. So.
I can concur with that. I will say that, cause being someone who never dreamed of ever having kids, like if you would have asked my college or even high school peers if I wanted kids, they'd have been like, no, that's the chick that always says she didn't want kids. She's not having any kids. I was very vocal about that. And it's probably because my mom was so horrible and we didn't feel wanted as kids. Like, we didn't feel like we were wanted. So I was like, why would I want kids? Nobody wanted me. So I was like, no, I'm not going to have kids. But once they were here, it was fucking hard. And I will say that it's not something that you can just take lightly. Like, I don't think a lot of people go into it knowing even half of what to expect as far as having kids. So it does add a level of wisdom to your life experience in general if you do have kids, to be able to say, and to what is good and what is not good and how to live. Because without that experience, I mean, the majority of people do have kids, so they're going to look at you like, well, you don't even have kids, so what do you know? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's like easier said than done. So, I don't know.
So, I don't know if you're making the right moves in either direction, you can make the world a better place just through your own actions. So, if you're someone that wants to go their own way, you can leave behind some wisdom bombs for the future generations, or if you find a person that is on the same path and you can raise a healthy kid, that's another way you can change the world too. So
there's people who don't have kids who are excellent support systems for those of us who do. Because The mom.
Which is ironic because that's also why they want to go their own way.
What?
I'm saying it's ironic because it's also why men want to go their own way, because they are excellent support systems for people who have kids and they don't. So that's kind of the problem to a degree.
I was thinking more of like girlfriends and sisters and aunts and, you know, cousins.
Yeah, right.
But because they're not worn down by the kids. So if everybody's got kids, everybody's worn down and we don't even want to, like, we just want to go to sleep.
Right.
So, yeah, it helps a lot in any way. In any case, we're all connected.
Yeah. All right, so we're going to go ahead and close up this episode. So everybody that tuned in, thank you for listening. If you enjoyed your time, give us a like, a subscribe. And you can interact with us on our YouTube, BitChute, Twitter, or Facebook. It's Mind Vector Podcast. Our Twitter is Mind Vector USA. And we will talk to you guys on the next episode.